In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, on this second Sunday of Great Lent, we continued with our reading of the Gospel of St. Mark. And you may notice, if you are aware of such things, that in the church, during this season of Great Lent, we have a tendency to go back to how things were originally or to the earliest practices of the church. That's why you noticed, if you were here last week, we had a different divine liturgy. When we get to the second half of the service, you'll notice the difference in the prayers that from the ones that we usually have. The liturgy of St. John Chrysostom is what we usually use during Great Lent. We go back to St. Basil the Great's liturgy, which is the oldest preserved liturgy that we still use in the Orthodox Church. The same thing with the pre-sanctified liturgies that we have. It used to be that they could be served on any Wednesday or Friday in the early church. And so during Lent, we go back to this practice where on Wednesdays and Fridays in the Russian tradition, and it still can be done in the Greek tradition on Wednesdays, on Fridays as well, to have the pre-sanctified liturgy. We also go back now to the Gospel of St. Mark. It was the first gospel that was written, chronologically speaking. And so we go back and we read the Gospel of St. Mark. This Sunday we have now come to the second chapter of St. Mark, and Jesus is in Capernaum, and I'll speak about that in more detail in a minute. But what I first want to highlight is the fact that Jesus, when he is presented with this paralytic, this man who cannot walk, Jesus says to him, when he's been presented by these four men who had faith, his friends, who obviously came to let him hear Jesus and to hopefully that he would be healed physically, Jesus says, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And that was it. Jesus was finished. He had done the work that he needed to do. He did the work that God sent him to do. "Son, your sins are forgiven." He made him right with God as he makes us right with God if we follow his teaching. But notice then that it's only after the questioning that Jesus recognizes is going on in the room with the Pharisees and with others who have doubts about Jesus. It's only then that Jesus says, "You want proof that I can forgive sins? Then I'll give you proof." And he heals the paralytic. It's important for us to realize the sequence of how this happened, because Jesus came first and foremost to forgive us our sins, to reconcile us with God, to heal us spiritually, which can't always be seen. Sure, there's manifestations of our being healed spiritually, but you can't see if Jesus forgave your sins or not. It's something that we take on faith. And when the people doubted, it was only then that Jesus says, "Rise, take up your pallet, and go home." But there's this dangerous belief among many of our people and society-wide as it relates to Christianity that somehow if we are Christians, somehow if Jesus has forgiven our sins and saved us, that things go well in our lives, that we will be healed of our infirmities. And this is not what the gospel is teaching us. You know, if this was the physical healing, was the be-all, end-all, then where is the paralytic today? We don't see him, right? He went on to die. He went on to still become sick and go to his grave, as we all will do, and as all the people that Jesus healed and raised ultimately did, even Lazarus, that we'll remember on that famous feast day of Lazarus Saturday. Lazarus is not with us. We all come to our end, brothers and sisters. And during this season, we are reminded of that constantly. That even if the Lord heals us of some sickness, of some malady, of some disease that we have in this world, it is only temporary. We Orthodox love to sing to people right on their birthdays, "God grant you many years Why do we do that? Not so that we're praying you'll live forever, but that you would have more time to repent. That you would have more time to become like God before you inevitably face the judgment seat. So we're reminded of that again today, and I remind you in advance, thinking ahead a few weeks, when you come to the Holy Unction service, we are coming there primarily to receive unction, not that God would temporarily heal the physical illnesses of our body, but that He would permanently heal the illnesses of our souls. But the other thing I want to highlight about today's reading has to do with the fact that Jesus is again now for a second time in Mark's Gospel here in this second chapter. He is a second time come to Capernaum. Capernaum will ultimately become sort of Jesus' home base when he has to flee Nazareth. And it's not surprising because Capernaum means the village of consolation. And it's there that Jesus worked so many of his miracles and provided consolation to people who had some way or another been broken off from communion with God and oftentimes broken off with communion with their fellow Jews or with society as a whole. And what's so important about this second visit that Jesus makes to Capernaum, besides the healing that we talked about, is the fact that the first time Jesus came to Capernaum, he went to the synagogue. He went there and preached and taught the people. So in other words, he went and taught his fellow Jews. The second time when Jesus returns to Capernaum, we heard not that he was in a synagogue, but he was in a home. So Jesus is moved beyond the synagogue to home. And, you know, obviously the early church, the home was important because that's where the church was. They met in homes because it was illegal for them to meet anywhere else. They weren't permitted to meet anywhere else. And so Jesus, you'll see as the gospel goes, and we'll see as Holy Week progresses, and as we get to Pascha, and eventually we get to Pentecost, we see this progression with Jesus, that he begins his preaching with the Jews, with his own people. He then moves on and he preaches in a home to people who are interested. Presumably, there were others there in Capernaum, a Gentile territory by the Sea of Galilee. There were people there who were not Jews. And we certainly know that later on in Jesus' ministry, the Gentiles heard his teaching. And this is important for us to understand this progression, as we'll see it commemorated in the hymns of the church and the readings of the church, because ultimately it finds its culmination in the Feast of Pentecost. And the Feast of Pentecost, you'll hear reintroduced. We stop at this prayer on Pascha and we say instead, Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death, and upon those in the tombs bestowing life. We begin our services that way. But when we get to Pentecost, you'll hear perhaps the prayer you heard me say at the beginning. I say it out loud, but there are chanters singing. But that we say at the beginning of every service, Heavenly King, Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, who art everywhere present and fillest all things. Today, as we hear this story of Jesus and as he's moved from the synagogue to the home, and eventually he will move out his preaching into the open, we're reminded, brothers and sisters, that God is everywhere present and fills all things. We do not have to come just here to the church to find God. Yes, we find him here. Yes, it's our community, it's our place where we have decided to gather together to worship him, to hear the word preached, to receive his body and blood in Holy Communion. But this is not the only place he is to be found. He is to be found everywhere. He is to be preached everywhere. And so, brothers and sisters, we are reminded on this second Sunday of Great Lent to take God with us when we leave this building, to preach his name not only by our words but by our actions, and to remember that we find God everywhere, but most especially, we find him among those who are in need. Why? Because, as we heard today, Jesus said, Son, your sins are forgiven you. And that's where we ultimately find Jesus, is when there are people in need, when there are people whose sins need to be forgiven, where people are imperfect, where they need to be reconciled to their God, the one and only God, and where they need to be reconciled to their fellow human beings. May God help us to do His work, to continue His work, as He has sent down upon us His Holy Spirit, and to continue reconciling and helping people find forgiveness and salvation. To our God be all glory, honor, and worship to the ages of ages. Amen.
Pray to the Lord, ye catechumens.
Lord of mercy.
Thus the faithful pray for the catechumens that the Lord will have mercy on them.
Lord of mercy.
And He will teach them the word of truth.
Lord of mercy.
And He will